Hey, you're listening to the Treehouse Storyteller. Meet me in the treehouse for God-shaped storytelling. Treehouse Storyteller is where we can come together as messy parents seeking Jesus together and raising kids to love him too. If you aren't scared of addressing cultural issues head on and finding a deeper understanding of the biblical worldview to share with your children, then you've come to the right place. I'm not afraid to be transparent and tell all of the juicy details. Our children are being chased by the world, and it is our job to be well-equipped and know not only how to lead our flock, but successfully send our arrows out into the world one day to build the kingdom. So snuggle up by the fire or soak up the sunshine with those earbuds in and meet me in the treehouse for some biblical storytelling. Okay, guys, today is a super fun episode. We are calling it Be Kind, Rewind, and Unplug. So let's back up a second because I want you to know my heart behind some of the things we're going to talk about. So I was invited to speak actually at a public school young authors conference just a few weeks back. And I thought it would just be really silly to not take the opportunity to share some of the things I was able to speak to those parents about that day. So we have kind of like a tutorial today, or like a workshop. So it's going to be a little bit different than normal. And I'm going to kind of expose certain things. We're going to talk a lot about technology and leading into parenting in the moment. Guys, this time of year is super crazy busy. It is the season that I think a lot of parents brace themselves for. It is the season where we have all of the recitals and all of the extra things and the extra meetings for the extra school projects and the supplies that we have to go buy and all the different places. I have been driving around in circles and we homeschool. It's really, really kind of crazy. And so I can only imagine what everyone else is feeling. And I would assume you're starting to feel a little bit loopy, a little brain foggy, a little tired. So we're going to address some of that today, but we're also going to take the opportunity to really address technology. And hopefully this will lead into your late spring, summer months that you're not doing school as much, that we can just press pause a little bit, that we can totally feel like we're maybe back in the 80s or maybe the 90s, and life is like a little bit slower. So let's go ahead and open up with kind of an introduction of what we're going to talk about. So today we're going to talk about some hard things, some really big problems, but most importantly, some beautiful solutions. And my desire for you listening is, like it always is, to walk out of the space feeling encouraged and equipped to tackle some of these problems. So we'll focus on problems related to the technology generation and the way in which we can do our part to steer the direction of our next generation. Right? I mean, that's what we're doing here, right? We are trying to lead our flock, that being our children. Technology. It can be a useful and productive tool, just like I'm doing right now. I'm using technology in an incredible way to speak across the US and across the world to, so far, I think I'm up to like 12 different countries, which is kind of bizarre because I don't even know that I know anyone currently, maybe in like one other country, but not 12. So I'm not sure how you guys are finding me, but I think it is the Lord and I think it's awesome. So this is a technology opportunity that's really, really cool where I can speak to parents across the world and we can have a community like this. So technology can also be a constant distraction. Guys, we have our phones, we have our kids, we have our spouses asking us questions and we're like, huh? What? Oh, wait, what? Hold on. Sorry, I wasn't paying any attention to you. So we obviously can be very distracted. And I say that lightheartedly, but obviously it's a problem. Then technology can jump into kind of this third category where it's reaching harmful things, harmful to our health problems. Okay, so we're going to kind of address these three things. And before you're like, okay, Hannah, you're always telling us to get off the phones. Like, just hear me here. I am like really on a high with this, and I'm going to tell you some really cool stuff. And more importantly, I'm going to reveal to you some amazing resources, and I even have a freebie resource at the end. So stay with me because it's going to be good. All right, so in that useful, productive category with like computers, phones, tablets, all the things, we definitely can have that productive, useful tool out of them. They can keep us connected. They keep us together. They can be tools for learning and sharing ideas. Guys, let me just stop right here. So why am I telling you this? Because you probably know all of these things, so much so you could do the podcast yourself. However, listen, this is not about you and I as much as it is about you and I learning together to hold hands and go, how are we communicating this the best to our kids? Okay, so what I'm providing you with today, before we get too far into it, hear everything I'm saying as something that you could re-communicate, that you could reiterate to your kids. So when they're asking you for screen time or they're asking you for certain screen privileges, that you have in your back pocket some of the things I'm going to walk you through today, okay? So more useful things phones can do, my sweet children, right, is that they can help us explore new information. We can learn, we can research, we can call for help. Like, all of these things are really, really important. Most of us don't have landlines anymore. And most of us rely, if we needed to call for help for an emergency situation, we would need to have our cell phone. Computers, phones, tablets, you name it, they can be distracting. They can be distracting in school and at work. I read an article recently. I don't remember what state that this was in, but a teacher was talking about how she could say all she wanted that her kids needed to be off of the cell phone during class, but she had zero grounds to reinforcing it. And it was a constant problem that her hands were tied by the administration that she really could do nothing about. And I'm like, okay, so you're saying if there's a rule in your classroom, you have no grounds to hold the kids accountable to this rule? Like, that is something to note. That is very, very bizarre to me that is where teachers are finding themselves. And I'm hearing it over and over again. I have a good friend of mine that has been teaching in one of the Colorado school systems for a long time. She gets things thrown at her by her students and she can't do anything. She'll send them down to the principals. They'll come right back. They'll throw a pencil at her again, or they'll punch her in the stomach. Like, literally abusive situations happening inside our school walls. I think it's really important to realize, even though if your kids are given some sort of rule at school, for instance, hey, you're not allowed to talk to your friends or use your phones or tablets during class time, honestly, they probably are getting away with it anyways. So that's, you know, really what I was trying to prove the point here. So we can get greatly sidetracked. I don't know how many times I open my phone to do one simple task and I end up all of a sudden going, oh my word, what was I doing again? Very distracting. A notification dings and you take the bait, right? All right, so they can cost us time, decrease our productivity when used inappropriately. We can become overly reliant on these as tools and stop using other tools that could be more helpful. They can pull us away from real life. I mean, right in front of us, we've got kids that need us, that want our attention, that have needs, that have things going on in a real life situation. And how often do we have to tell them, hold on, or how often do we have to have them repeat themselves? And that's becoming the norm in our society. So they can also obviously distract us when we're driving. I see people driving down the interstate all the time on their phone, like on FaceTime, on a Zoom meeting. Like, dude, get off your phone. Don't run into me and don't get in my lane. I am going to pass you and get the heck out of Dodge. So computers, phones, tablets, any technology can obviously, if taken to the wrong degree, it can be harmful. The harsh screen light can harm our eyes. Games and social media scrolling can become addictive. I told this story how my son has a friend that reached out to him the day actually that I was working on this presentation for the school. He said, "Elijah, can you please like help me figure this out? I think I am addicted to gaming. And I'm really, really struggling. And I think I have a problem and I really want help. Like, what do you think I should do?" And he was confiding in my son because he knows my son doesn't really do a lot of video games. And he was realizing as an eighth grade boy, hey, I am crippled by this. I am stuck by this. I am locked in by this addiction and I want out of it and I want your help. There's a cry for help, guys, an eighth grader. We can also accidentally see harmful or inappropriate images. I don't know how many times I've Googled one thing and something weird came up instead. When you're searching the internet, like some of those things the world thinks is fine. I mean, we all see what halftime shows look like. The world's standard of safe is not what our standard is. We have a biblical standard that is much higher, and we don't want our kids seeing all of these harmful images and thinking that that is how they need to dress, how they need to look, how they need to use their body, right? So we can become addicted to the dopamine. You know, you get a text, you get that like instant gratification, and we are just completely zoned into it at times. It can also be harmful in our relationships that are in person. Guys, we are called to have like a real life, and it was only up until the past really decade that we have now shifted so quickly into this spiraling culture of cyber world and digital and, you know, everything just being virtual. And we need to step back and scratch our head and go, wait a minute, what is actually real? Do we want our kids growing up in a Mark Zuckerberg world where things are made up and virtual, where you can basically escape your life? Or do you want your kids really navigating life to its fullest and being a champion for Christ? Because that's what I want. All right, so let's talk about a couple statistics, and these are going to blow your mind. So anxiety, I know we've talked about stuff like this on the podcast before, but I will refresh our memory because it's been several episodes, if not even 6 months ago. So anxiety has jumped from before. So it is 1 in 8 kids deal with anxiety. And that's the kids that we know have it. Like, it doesn't include kids that we don't know, right? So then 1 in 3 teens face anxiety issues. 1 in 3. So if you have like 3 kids, like one of your kids. That blows my mind. I pray that that's not the case, but that's what these statistics are saying. And I have to be careful with statistics. I want to tell you that I actually really well-rounded my statistics, and I took from different educational studies, different university studies, a sleep study, even pulled from the CDC, which I thought was a little bogus to do, but I wanted like a very well-rounded understanding, and they pretty much were all preaching the exact same thing. So I really wanted it to not be biased and not be like only one side of the story, but I got different angles, church studies as well. So you've got people that are fighting from all different angles with this one issue. All right, then suicide is up 62% for ages 10 to 24. Depression is affecting 44% of college students. Well, Hannah, why do we need to know that? Our kids aren't in college. Well, you need to know that because we want to be on the preventative side of things, right? We don't want to deal with it when it is our kids in that statistic poll. We want to deal with it now so that they don't get there and that this number can go down because we're actually making a difference in changing the course of history. Screen time has doubled since 2016. Get this, the average American child spends 7 hours per day on a screen. Heaven help us. That's crazy. That's a lot of hours. If I did 7 hours of anything in one day, I think that would be incredible. Screen time, not so much, especially for a young child. So guys, there's the nitty gritty. We've kind of gotten an overview. We've talked about the problems. We've talked about the hard things. Are you ready to hear some good things? Because we have good news. We have some solutions to some of these problems. We have boundaries we can put in place. We have the ability to equip ourselves with a different mindset. All right, so we're going to talk about kind of these four different solutions, and I'll just give you an overview. So the first one is going to be getting outside. The second one is going to be sunshine and light. The next one is going to talk about unplugging or limiting screen time in your household. And then the fourth one is going to be hands-on parenting. Okay? So these are great. And I've got resources for all of these that you're going to want to have. All right, so get outside. What does this do for us? Well, I'm so glad you asked because I'm going to tell you. All right, so getting outside could increase your activity levels. When we're not just sitting on a couch, turns out we're moving our body. By getting outside, we're going to expand our creative play. We're going to help explore new things by getting outside and understand the way our world and nature operates better. We're going to get fresh air. Doesn't that sound amazing, especially after a long winter? Doesn't it just sound so good to go outside and sit outside in the fresh air and the sunlight? This can actually reduce our cortisol levels. Getting outside reduces our muscle tension, stress, and anxiety. We can literally bring those statistics down a notch if we get ourselves outside. We can improve our mood. I think that's needed, especially for me, so much throughout the day. And there's so many moments that I think I am just stuck in a rut, emotionally speaking, that I need to just step away, open the door, walk out the door, go outside for a minute. Even if it's cold, guys, no matter the weather, go outside. And this gives our active children time to exert their energy. So I know recesses in schools are getting shorter and shorter and shorter and less and less and less. During our childhood, we had hours outside. We had like multiple 45 or hour long recesses. I remember being outside in recess so long that I actually would get in fights with kids, like not physical fights, but like get in arguments with other girls and then actually have time to resolve the argument. Like that takes a lot of time. Okay, so the next solution I mentioned was getting in the light, getting morning light specifically. So if we get outside, and I have to put a plug in here before I go on any further, because one of the resources that I'm giving to you today, I have just finished reading, and I was only into the initial part of the book when I added it to the end of this presentation as a resource, and I was so blown away just by the first couple chapters. I'm like, oh my word, I have to just put this on the list because I know it's good already. Well, guys, I finished it. So this is Until the Streetlights Come On by Jenny Urich. She is the founder of 1,000 Hours Outside. She also has a podcast. I'm going to try my darnest to get her on this podcast because I want you guys to hear straight from her all of these concepts. But I am going to feed you guys kind of some of the nitty gritty that she says, some of the details, and then mix with some other resources that I've read recently as well. So one of the things that she talks about in her book is how when we get outside first thing in the morning, we are doing such a service to our body. And I don't know if she talks about it exactly like this or not, but we are diurnal species. So I don't know, like, people in the back, do you know what a diurnal species is? Because I had to look that one up. So a diurnal species is the opposite of a nocturnal species. So noct meaning night and die meaning day. So we as humans were created by God in his image as a diurnal species, which makes me feel so sad for everyone that has to work nights or shift their schedule around where they're missing out on the daylight. We were made to experience activity in the daylight and rest during the night or the darkness. Exposing our retinas. So, like, take your sunglasses off for a second. Exposing our retinas to early light for even 20 minutes first thing in the morning is super beneficial to our hormone levels. So it got me thinking, like, okay, are we all taking, like, different medications to balance our hormones? And, like, you know, the world is like, oh, your hormones are off, here's some medication. Or maybe should we just go outside for 20 minutes and, like, not swallow a pill or rub cream on us? Like, I'm just asking the question. I don't have the answer. I'm not a doctor, not a scientist. But just thinking, based on this information, it would definitely do us some good to spend even 20 minutes first thing in the morning. So morning light actually increases the production of cortisol, which ignites your energy for the day. So if you go outside for those 20 minutes, which actually I can say that I do this often because we have animals and I have to go outside first thing in the morning. Most mornings, now sometimes my husband does it or the kids help. And so then I can kind of get, you know, the write off to stay inside and sip my coffee and read longer. But really getting outside and tending to the animals is probably the best move I could make each day because that's increasing my production of cortisol and giving me more energy. And then by doing that helps promote, get this guys, don't miss this one, helps promote the production of melatonin come nighttime for sleep. Now, do you think this is like something that we could have just, you know, had a big bang and exploded and particles and molecules and all the little things forced themselves together? And now we have this perfect way that our body is supposed to function and cycle every day? Or do you think perhaps this is made by a very beautiful, intelligent designer who said, you know what, you're made in my image, and this is what you're going to get from the light outside, and it's going to be so good for you, and it's going to help you through all of these world problems, because I'm going to literally help regulate your body by giving you this sunlight and giving you nighttime. Man, God is so good. This is the stuff I couldn't really say at the public school setting, but we can talk about it here. All right, so the next one is limiting our screen time. Guys, we have the opportunity to say no. And I know it's hard, and it's hard when you get pushback, but the more that you tell your kids no and the more that you set boundaries, really the easier it gets, I promise. But I'm going to give you some creative ways to not even have to say the word no. So you could set time frames where your kids or your family can go on screen. So maybe it's, you know, certain times of the day after they've done certain things and other activities are checked off the list. You can reduce notifications, which in turn will just keep you a little less distracted and and kind of keep the lure down to a minimum. I like the idea of creating a home station for your phone or tablet. Now, we have a junk drawer that is in the kitchen, and it gets pretty junked up a lot and frequently, so much so that we started calling it the drunk drawer instead of the junk drawer. So that's kind of our fun thing where we will put our devices when we're not using them. And honestly, guys, when they're in that drawer and placed in there and the drawer is shut and they're out of sight and out of mind, we find other things to do, and it's beautiful when that happens. So really just removing the item from plain sight helps so much. So what I like to encourage you guys to do, and this has actually been very beneficial, I have been testing this out for you guys for the last couple months. It works. At least in my household, it works. Offer other activities first. So if someone says, hey, can I come on the phone or can I go on the tablet? Well, let's just see what else we need to do. Like, always start with like a maybe situation and offer another activity first and see what happens. So I actually, at the end of this, I'm going to tell you about a resource that's going to really help you offer other activities first. But let's go through a couple more things before I introduce that to you. So maybe close out tabs or close out apps when you're not using them. That will help with the notification thing. Set alarms or time limits on your devices. So all devices these days have the ability to either put a screen limit time on your device and set it so it kind of like, you know, alerts you when you've hit your limit, or there are apps that will shut certain things down as well. Both of those are extremely helpful, and I have those set on my devices for myself personally. Here's another fun one. So let your device lose battery power. Like, literally just let it die. Like, what is the harm in letting it fully shut down? Usually it has to kind of run it, reboot itself anyways, and just function for a second without a phone. It's okay. It's okay to let your phone die. All right, when you guys go outside and do all the outside thingies that I have told you to do, when you go out into the sunlight, when you get outside, here is the big thing for me. When I go out inside in nature, I want to take my phone. Why? Well, because I want to document it. I want to be like, look, Instagram, I went outside and I did the thing. But maybe, just maybe, we leave our phone inside when we go outdoors. And we really, truly spend the time with the outdoors and really soak up God's creation. Really notice it. Really use it as a time to worship Him. And maybe instead we take a notebook and write something down or draw something instead of our phone. And then when we come back inside, we could always share what we wrote while we were outside. And that's okay. We want to encourage people to go spend time outside and be motivated by that and be encouraged by the outdoors and be, you know, just really ignited by what the Lord has to offer, and that we are not worshiping the creation, but like I always say, we're worshiping the Creator. And that's one of the most important pieces, right? Okay, so my last two, activate the do not disturb on your devices during family time, and please no phones at the dinner table. Let's keep dinner just about conversation and how was your day and that one sacred time that you guys can meet together and talk through everything as a family. I know with our kids' activities, there are only a few days a week that we are all actually physically together, and my husband is also home from work. And so those days that we do have family dinner, it's really awesome, and I really cherish that time praying together, eating together, and sharing our days together. All right, so the last one I'm going to give you is parenting in the moment and being hands-on. And this is truly experiencing life with your children, looking them in their eyes. Do you know that when you look in your kids' eyes, it does something chemically as well? It actually produces those really awesome endorphins, really awesome hormones that makes them feel good when you look them in the eyes. So take the time to get on their level and do that with them. So when we're parenting in the moment, there's a few things that this could look like. This means we're having engaging conversations one-on-one, maybe two-on-one. Maybe you've got a couple kids on your lap with you while you're having a conversation. You're setting your phone down, maybe even putting it in that drunk drawer of yours. Maybe you're putting it in the other room and you're looking in their eyes. Maybe to parent in the moment for you is planning an activity with family and sticking to it. Guys, how many times do we say, oh, wait, hold on, guys. Oh, wait, well, 1 second. Let me finish this email. All right, hold on. I'm going to post this. It hasn't loaded all the way yet. Oh, hold on. Guys, show your kids that they are a priority. And one of the ways we can do that is by not putting them on hold, but putting our phone on hold for our kids. Show them that they come first. This will make the most of your time together. Have you guys seen these jars that people do where you have a jar full of beans or M&Ms or like something fun? And I would highly say beans are probably the safer way to go there. But anyway, you make a jar, a giant jar, to remind you of your days left with your kids. And people do it kind of two different ways. You can either add a bean for every day that you have left with your kids to like show like it's filling up, like the time is coming to a fullness. Or you can do it the opposite way where you take a bean out showing how many days you have left with your kids, and you can kind of see the time chasing by and trickling down the jar as you go. So you can kind of like figure out which mindset you prefer with that. But it's a really good exercise, I think, to keep us as parents and our kids in check with the reality that life is short and that we really only have so much time with each other in the same household. So another idea is awarding ourselves, our kids, with positive reinforcement tasks and accomplishments when we're off screens. So because they've done something, like really praise them for being doing something that's off of a screen. All right. So the resource that I have for you, well, here, let me give you a few. So I've already told you about 1,000 Hours Outside. You can go to her website, check out 1000hoursoutside.com. She's also on Instagram. This is Jenny Urich. Her book that I referenced is called Until the Streetlights Come On. It is incredible. It's actually very, while she is a believer, the book is very neutral from the standpoint, like she really does not bring up a whole lot of biblical references. And this is the kind of book that you could easily share with anyone, friends and family or grandparent or whoever. The second book I am still reading, it is by Dr. Dunkley, and it is called Reset Your Child's Brain. It's a 4-week plan to end meltdowns, raise grades, and boost social skills by reversing the effects of electronic screen time, by Victoria Dunkley. All right, so that one, be sure to check out. I will also link that below in the show notes. And then lastly, guys, both of those books are really for the parents. But this next one, I kind of had to use the opportunity to share my first book, Farm to Film, An Alphabetical Adventure Told Through the Eyes of an Old Lens. I don't talk about it a whole lot on the podcast, but it was my first children's book, released back in 2021, and you can find it on thetreehousestoryteller.com in a hardback. I also have a coloring book that pairs really well with Farm to Film. So the reason why I included this in your resources is because it is an early grade, early reader, maybe like your 4 to 7-year-old book that really focuses in a very sweet way, noticing the world around you and really taking the opportunity and taking the time to kind of sit still and notice life going by. And I think we are constantly with our face up to a screen so frequently that we're missing a lot of opportunity to notice life. And how many people are missing the chance to see God's creation because we're so distracted? It's such a perfect scheme and scam that the enemy has been able to use recently, that he can keep us distracted, and we are without excuse with God's creation to know that there is a creator, right? So we need to teach our children to look up and look around at the world going on. So I will add a couple projects in the show notes as well, but I've got a couple quick ideas I'm going to give to you. So one is art time. Guys, when we do art time in our house, it gets messy. And I think that's one of the reasons why us parents kind of don't enjoy art time as much as we should. I think we're scared of the mess and we're scared of the sticky or the glittery or the glue or whatever it is. And we need to give ourselves and our kids a proper space in our homes where we can make the mess and we can be creative and let our creativity run wild. So maybe that's a place outside, or maybe that is an inside corner of your home, maybe an unfinished basement. We have kind of like an older wooden desk my husband made for the kids. That is like their place. If they want to make a mess, that's where they do it, because we know it can be sanded or scraped off if that's what we have to do. And the flooring underneath it is completely waterproof flooring. So if they make a mess, that's okay. So I think just having that ability to have an accident or make a mess and it be a safe space to do that creatively is awesome. Project number two is go outside and use only natural elements. So maybe challenge yourself and your kids to play a game outside where they only use outdoor things from nature as their toys. So maybe they're slaying a dragon with sticks or using small twigs, pine cones, and leaves, or create a fairy house. This will not only encourage creativity, it will also provide a tactile experience while doing all of the things outside, right? So super fun. Guys, I just want to encourage you. We have a lot coming at us as parents, and our culture is only more and more virtual as we go. There's only more opportunities for artificial intelligence, for AI, for all of the things to take over our critical thinking, our creativity, and our time outside. And I want you guys to be blessed by what the Lord has given you outside, and all of the ways that he has given you things to do with yourself creatively. And maybe you're called to be a computer graphics engineer, or maybe you are called to do the things on a screen, but we also need to take the time to do things off the screen as well. So I have created a freebie on the TreehouseStoryteller.com website. And the idea of this is you print off the screen free menu, you stick it on the refrigerator somewhere centrally located in your house, where when your kids are saying, "Hey, I want to go on the screens," or they're whining about playing a game or whatever it is, you know that mindset that I'm talking about. They're kind of done. They need entertainment. They need something feeding them. So instead of just sitting them in front of the TV and pressing an entertainment button, you can go to the screen free menu and challenge them, "Hey, why don't you go on a pretend camping trip in the living room? Why don't you go make up a play? Why don't you make a puppet show?" And just all of these creative ideas are on this menu. All right, guys, I hope this was encouraging to you today. I hope that I've equipped you with something new to think about and maybe a shift in your perspective We have kind of a crazy world that we're living in, and this sideways culture does not make it easy for us parents. But I am hoping and praying that the Lord will continue to equip you and help you so that you can stand firm, you can be bold in truth, and you can do what is best for your kiddos in your home. Have a great day. I'd love to hear what your favorite screen-free menu item ends up being. Bye-bye. Wait, before you go, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and follow us on Facebook or Instagram at The Treehouse Storyteller so we can stay connected. Head on over to thetreehousestoryteller.com for more products, artwork, photography, and encouragement. See you next time.